Tuesday, March 26th. Kyle, you and I get to go to New York City today. We're going to be at the J.D. Power Forum in the car show. We're going to be at VaynerMedia headquarters, and we're going to be talking to Will Gadara. But today, this morning, we're talking about Nissan, talking about Fisker, talking about Starbucks, and pretty soon, we're going to be talking about a bagel for you.
See, now you got my whole train of thought. I was ready to do all the show.
You're waiting to see what kind of bagel
on the brain.
You're going to pick up when we pass the shop in just a little bit. And, you know, you're kind of a keto guy, but that seems to be conditional.
I'm a keto guy. I don't eat a lot of bread or anything like that because I'm low carb, like under 50 carbs a day. One bagel in New York has got to be 89 carbs.
Yeah.
If you've never been to New York City, I'm just telling you. The bagels are different.
Some different.
It's in the water. They say it's in the way they proof the stuff. Whatever it is, they take this bagel that's like as big as your dang face, just that big. And then
half a gallon of cream cheese.
If you've ever been to a gelato spot, right, and seen like the way that they do the gelato.
Yeah, it's a good description.
They do it the same way with
cream cheese.
With cream cheese, and they shovel that thing and slap it all over the deck.
They do. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, and we're going to take a picture and post it. So that's what we're going to do. Hey, tomorrow, very important, More Than Cars Episode 3 premiere. We are going to live premiere it, live stream it on LinkedIn, Facebook, anywhere else we can, YouTube. But an easy way to get to it is to just go to our LinkedIn page, click on events, and then you can join the event there on LinkedIn. And it's going to be the Westar Auto Group. Can't wait to talk with Matt Lasher, the director of marketing, president of Streamline, all bunch of other stuff he does there. But it was so much fun doing this show. I think there's a love story in there. There's a carnival in there. There's you and me ordering wings that were too hot in there. All the fun stuff.
There's a basketball game of horse in there. I mean, it's got everything. It's great.
Yeah. So, that's 1 o'clock tomorrow. Go to LinkedIn, go to events, click it. You'll probably get to it from our homepage as well. All right. What do we got? Do we got news? We're going to talk about AsotaCon?
AsotaCon.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
AsotaCon. We'll do more tomorrow.
More AsotaCon tomorrow, but we're having a big event. If you hadn't heard, AsotaCon.com. And we'll do that. All right. Let's talk about some news. So Nissan announced a sweeping 3-year strategy introducing e-power hybrid tech in the U.S., launching 7 new models in North America and aiming for a significant sales boost. So CEO Makoto Uchida unveiled ambitious plans to boost global sales by 1 million vehicles. That's boosting it by a million vehicles. That's a lot. And cutting the cost of EVs by 30%. To achieve parity with combustion engines by, we can actually hit it right now.
Do it, hit it, hit it.
In the year 2030.
This is what Kyle's gonna be hearing when he eats a bagel.
Chef's kiss.
So they're saying, Nissan's saying the year 2030 is the profit parity between gas or pricing parity between gas and ICE. The plan is named the ARC, aims to revitalize them through these radical changes, including, get this, 30 new models globally over the next 3 years with a focus, obviously, on electrification. Here's a quote from the CEO. We must make radical changes to become a sustainable company. Disruption is the new normal. We aim to recover volume and drive profit.
Here's the thing. A couple things. One. Okay. I was going to make a stair step joke. Maybe that's enough. Like all the Nissan dealerships now get it.
You just made
the stair step joke. The other one is 7 models in North America, 30 models worldwide in 3 years. That's so ambitious. And even just like I put my marketer's hat on at that moment and go, how do you expect to over this timeline get that much net new thought process into consumers' brains on like, I need to buy this, especially when Nissan as a brand already is one of the like mass market brands that has a very flush product portfolio. It still just seems like wrapped up in this, to me, this like weird struggle between EVs and combustion when I am glad there's a lot of hybrid planned in this.
Yeah. That's kind of a lot of hybrid.
It is.
I think I saw on LinkedIn our friend Bob Welby, who is, what's his role over at Infiniti?
Over Infiniti. I don't know actually.
Something to do with service fix something.
Something.
He's awesome guy. very insightful. And he had posted on LinkedIn their release of the new QX80, which looks really nice, by the way. And it's actually next at the building right next to Hudson Yards where we're going to be later at this platform that's like way up in the air. So also like leaning into hybrid drive trains. I mean, really taking a page out of Toyota's playbook on that. But I mean, I guess we'll see. Talking about things that Nissan won't be doing.
Oh,
Segway.
Interesting timing on this. Fisker's negotiations with Nissan have abruptly ending. Nissan being the major automaker they were working at. Working out a possible deal with an acquisition or a merger or funding, throws this EV startup into turmoil with its shares have now been halted or were halted yesterday, and bankruptcy is looming. They are seeking frantically some other solution. So they're looking at both in-court and out-of-court options for restructuring or a capital market transaction, something to salvage the situation. Thomas Hayes of Great Hill Capital warns of the growing likelihood of Fisker filing for bankruptcy protection, potentially marking Henrik Fisker's second failed auto startup. Ouch. So now they have less than $100 million market valuation. So they've constantly struggled with supply chain issues, production delays. We've talked about the recent poor review that YouTube influencer Marques Brown Lee gave
that,
Fisker
that Ocean. That hurt him so bad.
And he said, like, this so is bad. The worst car I've ever reviewed. Noted a lot of good things about it, but it's hard to recover from that. And Thomas Hayes, who I just referenced, said, I can't put it if it's this week or next year, but he believes bankruptcy is inevitable. But we'll see what comes of that.
I mean, this is sad to me because they were working on getting the dealership model spun up.
I know.
And so I was excited about that. There was a lot of energy around that. But then we quickly saw the Marques Brown Lee post go up. We quickly saw a tank in the stock. And then you see these negotiations with Nissan ending. It's just like one after the other. They just keep getting hit with the punches. You know, whether or not they can make it out, if there's a strategic partnership financially somewhere coming around the pipe. But, you know, people have said for a while now, the last probably 4 or 5 years, that we are going to see a ton of net new market entrants, similar to when the internal combustion engine actually started, right? Mm-hmm. There were hundreds of attempts at becoming mass market brands to see a lot of them fail. So because it's startup world, remember, they might be raising these millions or billions of dollars, but it's still startup world and it's still hard. And coming after the legacy automakers is never going to be easy. So, Sad to see this maybe
really,
be the result.
I really want to see it come through. I like the car. I like the design. I like the team. I like their approach to things. And I'd love to see some of these cars, like when they get the bugs worked out on some dealer lots, because I think it would contribute a lot to some dealer groups' offerings for sure.
I agree. Man, I want to see them all win because I think it's fun seeing these cool cars. Like, they're coming off the line looking cool.
Especially when they start to adopt the dealer model.
Yep.
Speaking of adopting a regional model,
Segway. Time.
So you may not know the name Brady Brewer, but he is the current global CMO, and Starbucks is promoting him or moving him to CEO of its international business, signaling the end of the traditional CMO role within the company. They are essentially reevaluating what the role of marketing is within their organizational structure. Their goal is to begin a regional CEO model with localized marketing support, emphasizing a very tailored marketing strategy. There's two new roles that are being introduced: EVP, Chief Merchant and Product Officer for Global Product Strategy, and a Global Brand Creative Leader to oversee the brand's global identity. Yep, totally makes sense. The change is all in line with their Starbucks triple shot reinvention plan, aiming to expand its footprint and double its Starbucks rewards members by... Hit it, Paul!
We get to hit this button. I don't know that we've ever hit this button twice, and certainly not on a non-automotive story. Well, here's the reality of this. Like, we know that Starbucks is in such a variety of locations. That's and it. Neighborhoods and mindsets and interests and hobbies and the way people hang out at the store, just go through the drive-through. So to have like products say like, hey, these are the products, this is what the creative is. This is how we want to be perceived. And then pushing the actual deployment of the marketing strategy down closer to the front line. I don't think that's why the dealership model works best when the local and regional dealers build local brands to sell the product that was built and marketed at a tier one level. So I love this strategy. I think it's going to crush for them.
Yeah. And so you see this operation already happening, obviously, with OEM and franchise, right? The OEM sets the global brand strategy, at least from the new car marketing perspective. And then the local dealer is able to execute that. But we actually see a lot of auto dealerships as consolidation is happening with groups struggling with the same dynamic. Like, how do we leverage the efficiency of scale within our marketing, but also make sure that the local has the power to market correctly for that locale, for the people groups, for the communities that are there. So I love this, like thinking about the roles that Starbucks is having, this chief merchant and product officer and global brand creative leader, getting to set the vision, getting to set kind of the global vision for the brand, and then allowing that to sink deep to these regional marketing leaders. I think that there's a real strategy there that especially groups that are consolidating can start to take and assume into their strategy.
And we're seeing more groups adopt the strategy, but when it works well is when a couple things are present. Number one, you have a brand marketer like running some strategy close to the ground level. What happens, and what we've seen happen a lot, are people who manage like logistics or who manage like, you know, co-op or tier two that just aren't wired to think about brand strategy and how we're going to deploy in order for it to work. Like, I'm sure that Starbucks is going to make sure that the CEO model with the localized marketing support is going to be well-trained and well-aligned to the fact that like, okay, this is what the product is. This is how it's supposed to make people feel. This is the quality, but this is actually how the product is consumed here.
Yep.
Right. This is how people buy, interact with the product here. So I'm really excited about this. We're going to be talking about this, and who knows, maybe they like, can like spur a little bit more progressive thinking. It's really, I mean, Starbucks has had massive control for a long, long time from the top. They're pushing it out. They're no dummies. They've done a couple things right over the years.
Maybe they won't do Christmas stuff in November in Phoenix.
That will never happen.
Come on now, Paul.
One of the most awkward experiences. Pumpkin spice lattes in Arizona when it's 85 degrees out. Just that didn't work, but we have a bagel to go get to. We'll see you at JD Power, and we'll come to you with an interview coming soon.